Welcome to the Hunting for Purpose podcast, the official podcast home for all human design manifestors. I'm your host, Holly Marie, a 4-6 splenic manifester, a certified human design teacher, and a manifester who is following her own creative urge to facilitate a thriving global community of aligned, powerful manifestors. Wherever you are at in your manifestor journey, or even if you are here just because you love a manifestor and you want to understand them a little bit more, this podcast is the place for you. Stick around for in-depth teaching, for real-life practical tips and understandings of the manifestor journey and how to become aligned and powerful and thriving as a manifestor. You are here for global impact. You are here to change the world. The time is now. The journey is yours. This podcast is your home. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. I love doing guest episodes. I love them. Such a little foreline of me loving to have people on and talk to them so that it's not just my voice reflecting back to me all the time. And last year we focused really, really heavily on having human design teachers coming to speak to us about manifestors. So for those of you who listen all the time, you got a whole kind of wide gamut of human design teachers who are out there in the space informing us about being manifestors. And this year our guest episodes are taking a really different direction, but today's episode is a pretty unique and pretty special one, not only because it is still back in that human design camp, but also because it's with two reflectors, which is like being in a room with unicorns. I mean, how often are you going to kind of come across a Zoom room with two reflectors in it? And also because this is very Australian, this episode, a lot of Australian voices. So we are chatting today to the gorgeous Amber and Annie, who are both reflectors, as I said, both human design teachers, and are the founders, creators, facilitators, people who are working incredibly hard to bring together Australasia's first human design conference, which is coming up in May. Welcome, Amber and Annie. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Holly. Lovely to be here. Really lovely.
Thank you. Very good to be here. We're very happy to be here.
It's nice. Being here, it's very casual being in a room with all non-sacrals, I feel.
Isn't it? We'll try not to fall asleep.
Correct. There doesn't feel like there's any pressure to move at any particular speed or respond to anything. It's just nice. It's nice.
That's the story of our life, Holly. We don't, that's what they think of it, you know, reflectors. Oh, how do you even get out of bed in the morning?
Question that of myself. How do I myself get out of bed in the morning? And I've got more energy than you guys, so I don't know how you do it, really. It's a miracle. So can you each maybe share a little bit about your design, how you stumbled into the vortex of human design, and anything else about your story that you feel like you'd like to reflect to us? Do you want to go first, Annie?
Sure. I'm Annie. Hello.
Hello.
I stumbled across human design roughly around 2018, and I was one of those ones that when I first stumbled across it, I ran my chart incorrectly, and it came up that I was a projector, and I didn't really vibe with it until probably about a year later, and then I ran it again and found out that I was a reflector, and it was one of those really defining moments in my life that stopped me in my tracks. You know, you have these life-altering moments. Finding that and looking at that blank open body graph, it was a shock. It was, I joke and I say I went on a three-day bender, because I cried, I laughed, I was like, this explains everything. And it really sounds dramatic, but it was for me. It was quite this moment of going, oh, this, I really felt seen. So I'm a 5-1 in human design. And I tell you what, that first line really, really got a working that first year. I read and found everything I could. It wasn't until I think year two, then I found Amber's book. And at around 2020, I still couldn't find the information that really, I couldn't find the information that was felt correct. I felt like a lot of it, there wasn't enough information. So I just started my own podcast. And the first person that I had on my podcast was the beautiful Amber, because I thought, if I'm going to talk to somebody, I'm talking to her. And that was our love story. But
how beautiful for Valentine's Day yesterday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just been a journey, you know, and sometimes a forced journey, but a lot of acceptance, a lot of weaving it into my family, weaving it into my work, studying, just meeting incredible other reflectors and learning through each other. I've just found that that's the best way, that experiential learning. So, yeah, that's pretty much, that's me. Oh, I have the cross of distraction. So I lead with Sungate 56, and I have a completely open G center and a completely open head. So, yeah, it's fun.
You're all fluid in there, baby. You're all like energetically fluid in there. She
and I
in
really
the
am wishy-washy. I really, there's some days where I just go, wow, you know, what's happened? I could just stare at a wall. But anyway.
I love it so much. What about you, Amber?
Oh, goodness. Well, I stumbled across human design when I was going through my Uranus return. So, you know, that point in your life when you're going through a transition anyway. And I had been very corporate, very, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, running big jobs, doing, you know, quite a lot. But having this feeling of like Groundhog Day, like I'm achieving, if I've got a massive team, I'm earning amazing money, I've got the job that I thought that this was what I wanted, and it just did not feel right. I just was like, what's wrong with me? You know, why is this just not feeling like it's filling up my cup? And around that time is when I heard about human design. Someone ran my chart, I had a look at it, and similar to Annie, I had this epiphany, had this moment of, oh, shit, right. Is this a joke? Is this, has someone literally written the story of my life? So I dived in very deep. I mean, I'm a 1-3. So, you know, that little one really, really wanted to know everything. And so I explored, I dived, I went to the States, I learned more there. And my journey was very much, I came to the realization that because of the 3, the trial and error part of who I am, had really learned some of these things about myself already. So it was like a real coming home to, okay, this is all making sense. This is all feeling very, very, very real and lived in my experiences of it. So at some point in that journey, after, you know, studying and doing all the things that I, you know, wanted to do, I really, again, like Annie, felt, where is all this information about being a reflector? Because a lot of people repeat what is out there, and that's all they can do. I mean, it's very hard for someone who's defined to imagine being completely empty or completely open. So everyone's just doing the best job they can. And that's kind of why I felt called to write about it. And so I wrote a book, but mainly sharing my personal experiences. It was meant to just be something that other reflectors on their journey could kind of pick up and go, oh, I'm not alone. I've kind of experienced that too. Okay, I'm not a freak, or I'm not a a weirdo. Yeah. And it's gone from there. For me, I never meant to end up working in this field. It just kind of, it flowed, the invitations, the right journey, everything kind of just came into this space. And now it's really wonderful to see so many more reflectors becoming aware of who they are. And thanks to Annie's podcast as well, where people are getting to see other reflectors in action and their lives. It's just a beautiful journey to be on, to now actually have more people having a conversation about what it means to be a reflector, when I think in the past it must have felt very isolating if you found out you were a reflector. And, you know, you don't often meet people in your real life, do you, that are reflectors generally in your, you know, maybe outside of the Zoom space. So that's where I've been. I've created a school for human design, Australian College of Human Design, where because I've have a big teaching background, to me it's just a natural flow working with people, generally a lot of manifesting generators, which is very interesting.
But they like them, being mirrored back to, maybe.
Pulling them back a bit to give them some, you know, help them take a little bit more time in their processing. So it's been a really beautiful journey, and I don't know. I love working in this space. I love everybody I meet in the space, such as yourselves. It's just, It's just been an incredibly liberating experience for me. And I see that in others when they also have that same opportunity to get to know themselves through that their design.
Yeah. It's really beautiful about the common theme to both of your stories is that sense of, firstly, oh my gosh, this weird thing identifies me in a way that I've never been able to identify myself, even in this hybrid conglomeration of all of the other languages and all of the other systems. But that also both of you noticed that sort of social separation of being a minority group in this energy typing of, and you are the premium of the premium. I mean, there is no one more rare than the reflector. And wanting to meet other reflectors in that place, wanting to remove that experience of pain and loneliness and isolation from other reflectors. And that's like word for word almost my experience for creating the Manifestor community. The whole basis behind it was exactly what you two just outlined in your own personal journeys, that at 9%, we're rare and we're different and we're misunderstood, and we have exactly that same experience of seeing the same regurgitated information about us that is, it becomes meaningless because it's not applicable, it lacks depth. And I agree that everyone is trying their best. You know, for the people who are outside of this manifestor, like quote unquote closed aura, this heavy aura that we have, of course you can't understand us unless we tell you who we are. And I don't think that up until recently, we now got more voices coming into the manifestor space, but up until recently, we didn't have manifestors out there saying, I understand myself, let me show you so you can learn. And I see the same thing in reflectors. It hasn't been until recently that we have reflectors now saying, I understand myself, let me show you so you can see.
Oh, sorry to interrupt you there, Holly. I was just going to say, watching that, I grew up with a manifesting mother and grandfather who I lived with. And so watching their experience, and obviously having no idea what human design was as a child growing up, but seeing how they interacted with the world and how the world interacted with them was really, really interesting, because I didn't understand it, but I could see it. And seeing my mother, for example, who is an incredible, powerful woman, but really great up against people and wonder what was going on. And we share a deep love of human design together. I spend time with her around it. But I sometimes she says to me, geez, I wish I'd known this stuff earlier on, instead of holding this kind of misunderstanding about myself, and seeing her come up against quite a lot in life, that maybe she didn't have to if she understood how that works. So it's great that you're out there helping others as well understand themselves in the manifestor space.
Well, right back at you. Ditto, right? I often find that manifestors and reflectors get grouped together as these, like, you're all the rare ones, and you're sort of the ones that everybody else doesn't really fully understand. I think projectors are a lot more represented, they're a lot more understandable. But manifestors and reflectors are really like, we love you, but we don't really get you. So you could just hang out in the corner over there. But I find in all of the relationships and connections that I have with reflectors, which are always so special and always so remarkable, that we are far more different than we are the same, right? I as a manifester, I cannot inherently understand the reflector experience. I don't know what it is to be completely open to the world and pulled along by the tide of everything that is happening outside of you. What is it like? It's a very broad question, but what is that experience like of being a reflector in a world where you're not really represented, and also your energy doesn't really meet the demands of normal society?
Always really enjoyed the manifestor aura. I have a lot of manifestors around my life. I was raised by a reflector as well. And what you're just saying there, Holly, about, you know, we do get kind of lumped together, but I always find that there's an ease and grace between the reflector and the manifestor. And it's possibly because we're both so very misunderstood.
Agreed.
So we have a little bit of a camaraderie of, you know, and there's a lot of memes going around. They always make me laugh because it's just like best buddies in a way, because we're at opposite ends of the spectrum. But in my experience, I will never know truly what it's like to be the other aura types. But I tell you, I can always tell when I'm having manifestor moments with the, I can always tell. And
When
so
we've
can my
dumped our
family.
initiating energy into you. Sorry about
Yeah,
that.
or when you know, with my lunar cycle and stuff like that, as I go through my transits, there's 2 times a month where I'm defined in that manifestor aura from the reflector point of view, and I can always feel it. When I first started doing this, I would kind of sometimes, in my ignorance, I would track it on a calendar, and I'd think, right, these are my manifestor days. I can go and get a whole heap of shit done. Doesn't work like that, by the way, spoiler alert. But at the time I was like, yeah, but I can feel it. It's like sometimes I just feel the different energy and it's like, oh. So if there's a shoe in the way, I'm like, get out of my way. So it's like a little sample, isn't it, Amber, how we can sort of like taste a little bit of it and go, wow.
I think where the similarities is we've both got that in a slightly different way, that resilient aura, right? In like you're a bit impenetrable to the others, and we're kind of able to water off a duck's back a bit and shut it down if we know how to use it, if we're wise enough. Because I think when we're younger, potentially we don't know how to use it. We get very consumed. And I think that's the journey when you're younger, is you get so consumed in everybody else's stuff. It's like, and it's not until you give yourself some really decent time away from all of that that you realize that, oh, okay, God, I don't kind of, this is who I am. I'm actually not these things that you might have really thought you were because you're around them so often. So I think as a reflector, when we show up in the world, it's just being so, having to be so conscious of where we are and who we're around, so that we can stay whole and a bit more resilient. Like, you know, you as a manifestor, you can show up, and just but have such a still have a such a deep sense of what's going on for everybody else at the same time. So it's kind of like I always say, it's like you have a taste of the cake, but you don't need to eat the whole piece of cake. You can see, oh my goodness, it's my apologies. I did
She
turn the
found
light, but
something outside of her window. What's going on?
sorry about that. I was beeping and making all sorts of noise. Hopefully that wasn't too loud. Yeah, so for me, it's just when you're showing up in as a reflector, it's just having that conscious understanding that, and often I think, Annie, tell me if you see it differently, but when you first meet people and you go into space, like, I don't know, you're starting a new class, you're going into a new gym, you're going to a new workplace, it takes quite a long time for people to actually see who you are. Because in the beginning, people, they are either seeing you for themselves, they're seeing something in you that they about themselves, or they're misjudging you. I can't tell you how many times it's taken maybe a few weeks in a space, like coming back, let's say a workspace, where somebody starts to say, oh, really, you know, it's like they either really like you or they don't, or whatever, but it's like they only just getting you then. There's a lot of misunderstanding about who we are in the beginning. And I always used to say, when I was a single woman, going on dates, you know, that dreaded, you go on dates with someone new, and often I would find I'd have one date and that person might be ringing me up saying, oh, you know me, I'm blah, 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 blah. Or that just, it was like they felt like we knew everything about them already. It's always this strange, oh, you know, you're like this too, or you're like very projected, but
Wow.
misunderstood. Yeah,
Wow. Do you
experience.
get that too, Annie? Do you have that
Yeah.
experience too?
It's always,
Wow.
and it can be quite, you would kind of get used to it after a while, but it's always, yeah, I know you. Yeah, we've met before. You know, I swear we've met. And you're like, no. Yeah, I do. I know you from somewhere. I'm going to figure it out. Always, always, always. Or we will always get that. You're so easy to talk to. I feel like I've known you my whole life. And you know, you can smile now and go, that's because you're meeting yourself. you know, in a way.
You don't know me, you know you.
Yes, that's right.
Welcome to yourself.
But I love what Amber was saying, and it's very true. And even that's in our relationships as well. People, and they say this about reflectors, to truly know a reflector, you've got to be with them for a while to really see them, because that invisibility is real. And it's not always invisibility in the sense of you're being shunned, but it's more that they can just overlook, or not really, as Amber was saying, not really figure us out. They don't really know who we are, what we are, little aliens.
It could be
What a
dangerous as
wild
well.
experience. It's just like incredible to me. I think as a manifestor, because our experience is the complete opposite end of the spectrum, that we are noticed everywhere before we've done anything. We're noticed for breathing. We don't even have to speak or move or take any action. So we have nowhere to hide, nowhere to be invisible. But at the same time as being so strongly and so intently seen, we're not understood. So it immediately makes that like a bated breath moment in meeting new people as a manifestor of like, are you going to be inspired by me or are you going to hate me? Because I don't really know which way it's going to go, and I don't need to do anything. In fact, we have to unlearn how to we've got to stop controlling that situation, right? We get into a lot of these conditioned practices where we try to diminish ourselves or be small or be submissive or, you know, I'm very pleasant, I'm very lovely, I'm just going to slide on under the surface here so that you like me, but none of it works. And we still have that same magnetizing, repelling quality. So it's even difficult for me to wrap my head around what it must be like to feel invisible. You know, and I think the natural tendency as humans is to say, well, because I struggle with what I experience, the opposite must be good. And I think this is such a beautiful example of why the opposite is not good, right? That we all just have our nuanced way of experiencing our energy, and there's a struggle that's built into every single aspect of it, regardless of, you know, how other people do it or how you do it.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
was going to say
definitely
something to that
masks.
about the invisibility. Sometimes it's less about, well, it's feeling invisible because no one's really seeing who you are, but sometimes people will see you. They'll just have judgment of who you are straight away, and that can be really interesting, you know, oh, you're this, or you're that, or you're always loud, and you know, and this or that. And it's really interesting. I know that sometimes if we're around someone that's maybe not feeling so good about themselves, it's almost like they project onto you that you're not such a great person as well. It's really interesting, the dynamics there. But I think as a, when I meet manifestors, I'm curious, Annie, as well, whether you have this experience. Someone I've not met before, obviously a manifestor that we don't know and love already. It's the only type I find when I meet a manifestor that I kind of go, oh, I don't know about that person. It's not that I don't like them. It's not that I do like them. It's just, I don't know. It's like I can't. It's like, and it always, and so now I usually suspect that the person's potentially a manifestor. And often if you get to find out, it's right. And so, you know, I know that it's about just giving them some time and not expecting it to be all cracked open straight away. And nearly always I find they're some of my favorite people once, you know, we have a longer time together to sort of get past that initial barrier. So it's really interesting to meet the manifestor aura. Do you find that, Annie?
I always, how can I put this into words? I always know. I always can feel a manifestor. I don't, maybe on a handful of times have I been incorrect, and generally it's a manifesting generator, but I always know. I think it's because it's a shared experience, like it's energetic. But I find that I can sneak up on them. Like I always can just kind of sneak into their space and just be like, hello, I'm here. And it doesn't ruffle their feathers. I've found that just in my experience. I'm sure there's going to be a manifestor one day that I'm going to ruffle their feathers up. But most of the time in a physical space, I can just kind of like saddle up and hello. And they're like, oh, hi. You know, it's quite
Hello.
cute.
Yeah, I think that to us the reflector aura feels like it's not pushing on anything. We're so used to experiencing everybody else's aura, even other manifestors' auras, immediately push into our energy. And so it can be challenging to kind of take those initial steps in relationships with people as a manifestor, because we on the inside of the aura feel like you're pushing on me, right? You're placing an expectation, or you're trying to take something, or you're trying to enter my energy, I have to work out how I feel about that before I'm going to give you space. Whereas I find reflectors are, it's just kind of this smooth, easy, like you don't want anything from me. You're happy to just exist side by side. And that's very, very beautiful. I've always enjoyed times with reflectors, and the same from the other side. I think manifestors always quite quickly pick reflectors because it feels easy, because it doesn't feel like you're demanding anything of us, which is a very symbiotic relationship, actually, when you think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you find, Holly, just asking you a question, do you find, as you were saying, that you can feel that penetration from the other types, do you find that the projector aura can try and be poking in there with you? I know.
Oh, golly. A reflector out of alignment? Yes. Oh, Lord. Like that is it's like a neon, you know, red flag, I think, for manifestors, and that we can be very like that person is abrasive, like that person is edging for something, and I will notice that before other people around me will, and I'll be like, they're fine, there's I don't what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, you wait. I think that the projector aura really, really loves to penetrate that manifestor, or they're really fascinated with us. And when they're in alignment, that's gorgeous. It's such a nice experience. I personally am surrounded by a lot of projectors. I have a lot of friends who are projectors. Some of my staff are, my husband is, my eldest child is. But I was raised by an MG and a manifestor, and there was a lot of trauma in my history. So I think that projectors for me as an individual have been a really nice alternative, as people who want to recognize me, want to see me, want to understand me, want to work with me and get close to me instead of seeing me as a threat. But yeah, that you feel the projector aura. With this kind of brick wall quality that we have as manifestors, you can feel the examination happening.
Oh, yeah.
I see that you're looking for cracks in my bricks for how to get in.
Yeah.
I can either give you the shortcut, like to get through them, or I can just watch you scramble for a while.
I was feeling that, like, you know, when the, because I get that as well, you know, when the projector sort of comes in, like with its arrow into you, it's like, oh, get out of there, you know, kind of, oh, that's really sharp and pointy, and I'm not ready. You didn't ask. You weren't invited. What's
Didn't
going
buy
on?
Me a drink first.
Before you penetrate me. My God.
But oh goodness, when it's invited in, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Right. Really. I often have that conversation with projectors that I don't think that they recognize the difference in the way that other people receive their energy with the invitation versus not the invitation. That invitation actually changes everything. It changes the whole tone. It changes the whole experience, and it takes it from something that is kind of a like I said before, abrasive. It's sharp. It's difficult. It doesn't feel comfortable, and it turns it into something really beautiful and accepting and belonging and healing. It's just these kind of very oppositional experiences, energetically speaking. So I wish projectors really understood that early on.
Yeah.
About their energy, and I think it would change their relationship experiences.
Definitely. Yeah.
So we are at the time of recording this, we're sitting in mid-February, which seems a really long way out from the conference, but it's not. It's going to come around very, very quickly. So we're about 3 months out from the Australasia Human Design Conference. It's happening 24th to the 26th of May. Did I get that correct?
Correct.
Got it. Beautiful. This is the first human design conference that we have had on this side of the world, which comes with its whole kind of own set of challenges, I think, and new experiences and a lot of experimentation. But can you walk me through how it started? Where did you even come up with this? Like, how did this begin? I want to know, how did you initiate it, reflectors? Like, where's it come from?
Well, we I think we started conversations a couple of years ago. I was down on the Gold Coast, caught up with Amber, and we were both, because Amber and I are born 6 days apart, and there's often when we chat and we share things with each other, it's we kind of in on the same path in a way. So when we were having this meal, we were sharing, both of us having this yearning to do more. So we'd kind of been sitting in that energy for a while and didn't really know at the time how we were going to do it, until I think we both sort of started quizzing each other a little bit more, didn't we, Amber? And going, well, what if we do something a little bit more than just a workshop? What if we actually brought community here? Because that's been our intention all along, podcast and schools and stuff like that, is to build community, you know, to find our people here in our own backyard. So yeah, that's how that initiated. And we were just like, we're doing it. We're doing it. And we wanted to do it our way, didn't we, Amber? We really wanted it to be a nurturing environment that wasn't, that was done a little bit different. And Amber can speak into her experiences on the conferences that she's already attended.
Oh yeah, look, I go overseas most years and often speak at the International Human Design Conference and get involved in that, which is a fabulous experience. And there's, you know, it's really lovely to be in that energy and have that vibe. But I always can't help but think, but we need that in our with our people, because we do things differently, right? We show up a bit differently. It's lovely to have that connection, but how nice would it be to bring that back home? Not maybe not have to travel so far to have that same experience, and also have it in a way that really fits how we operate, how we show up in the world. Because we're kind of a little more, this is just certainly a noticing, we're a little bit more laid back over here. We like to have a bit of fun. You know, and that cultural experience that we have in our country, we don't represent that in the human design community yet. We still, most people, certainly I know, and I'm sure you're the same, that work or are involved in human design in Australia are working still with a lot of international people. And which is fabulous, and it's wonderful that it's such a global expansive experience. But hey, let's get community here. Let's bring some really cool speakers who we sought and found and loved the vibe of together, so that we can share what we know and what we're learning and what we love and grow the community in this space. That's kind of how we got to it, wasn't it? It was just that, how do we do that? You know, the conference thing has been on my mind for a long time. And I think when Annie and I kind of both had that same vibe around, is this something we want to bring? Is this something we can do? And we, as reflectors, it's about nurturing the space. It's really, for us, it's about creating the right environment, a place that feels safe and comfortable and a great experience from end to end for whoever's involved, whether it's an attendee or somebody, you know, that's speaking or presenting at the conference. And that was our vision for it, wasn't it, Annie? Just to something that really is Australian, that recognizes Australians and that gets Australians involved in a way that, you know, we do things over here.
And we named it the, obviously we wanted to be practical, fifth line, and we wanted to sort of like reference it not just for Australia, because we wanted to include, you know, New Zealand, and we did a bit of wordsmithing on that, and we just decided Australasia, because we wanted to be encompassing of the space here, not just Aussie, oi, oi, but you know, our friends across the pond and those in the Asia Pacific region. So yeah, that was the name's kind of a little bit like Human Design Conference, because that's what it is. And we did think about that. Like, conference can be seen as such a stuffy word, can't it? You know, I know some people get a bit wordy and they're like symposium, but we wanted to keep it very simple and to let people know that it, you know, it's labeled a conference, but it's more than that. It's, you know, people coming together in aura, and that filled us with great excitement when we thought we can do this. Like, you know, because a lot of people, as we were saying, they wonder how we get out of bed in the morning. It's just like, we do have our own energy systems, and it fuels us as well, you know. And given that Amber and I are both reflectors, we're very respectful of each other. So, and we've kind of can share the load. We've worked really well And she's sort of like, you know, tag teaming through the preparations and things like that. So we really honor each other as people and our energy.
One of the things that I've found really challenging about being not just in the human design space, but certainly in the digital sphere, I think of spirituality, personal development, you know, growth, healing, whatever you want to label that, especially as a line four, is that I have this very rich network of relationships with people who do not live near me. So those relationships are incredibly, incredibly beautiful and deep and powerful and very real. And in a lot of cases are people that I've never met in person, but we work so closely together and communicate so regularly. But there is an aspect to it of in my physical life. And I even divided that for many, many years. I had like my digital life and my physical life. And that's how I spoke about it. I have these relationships and these connections and this expression of myself in my digital life. And then in my physical life, I have this different expression. I also have an undefined G center, right? So like that, it made sense to me. I was like, let's put some language to it that I can understand. I'm wearing a different identity suit over here. But in this physical space, I found it really difficult to the point of being almost impossible to find people to connect with in meaningful relationship in this space. And certainly moving into human design made that even more narrow here in Australia, that, you know, I would meet people who were maybe yoga teachers or, you know, meditation teachers, and they'd be like, I don't really understand like your brand, right? Spirituality, like what's this language that you speak in? So I'm curious about how collective that experience is for all of us in a place like Australia, where we're geographically very separate. We also have a very small population comparatively to other nations. And I think culturally, we're not as spiritually expressive as a lot of other cultures are. Have you guys felt that in your own individual journeys? Has that been a hurdle?
Well, I was gonna. We were both letting each other go then, weren't we?
You've been
So
super
polite.
respectful of each other.
We're
So
so
respectful.
polite. I'll jump in quickly, and I was just gonna say, I think because I have met probably because I've been doing, doing this a long time with quite a few Australians that I work with all over the place, and I really see so often people saying, "I feel really alone in this." Like I feel like I don't, I want my community. I want, and I get this more and more and more. And I'm really seeing it now in my Australian audience, if you like. And so I totally agree with you that we're a little behind and we're a little maybe not quite so advanced in some of these practices as our international friends. But I just see now that in Australia there's a real bubbling, right? There's a real desire, especially since COVID. There's a real desire to have some more meaningful connections, to feel like maybe what we used to measure ourselves and our lives against, and what, what was important, what was success, what did that look like? That's a lot of that is to do with who we're with and who we're around. So I don't know. I'm definitely noticing it from the Australians that I work with. So what about you, Annie?
I have found that it's very different. Like online has consumed us for a number of years. Again, you know, speaking to COVID, it really did sort of push us all online, and that the friendships and the meeting of people has been absolutely incredible. But to really participate and experiment, and that's what human design is about, you really get that in person, and it's watching people actually really be. Because, you know, when we chat to each other online, we're often putting our best foot forward, you know. They're not really seeing and getting that true experience. So I feel that this is another reason that was sort of like fuel for me of just going, I want to be around people, you know. Or then people are, you know, would say to me, oh, you're a reflector. Oh my God, oh my God. And they fan boy or girl about it. And it's like, well,
I
come,
feel it,
because I know a lot, you know, come and be in the space and sort of be a part of the experiment and watch people. And just because, You know, I'm a 5-1 reflector and somebody else is a 5-1 reflector, you'll be able to see how we operate very differently. I don't know. It's a very big thing for me to really step back into the in-person. I think that's kind of where society we're heading. So it was a no-brainer to sort of, and it's been very interesting, might I add, because for me, it was like I had my head in the sand, because all of a sudden Amber and I sat there and we were like, well, who do we know? Who do we know in Australia, you know, or Australasia? And we were like, we knew a couple of people, but not until we started this adventure have I been like, oh my gosh, there's more people. Oh, and more people. And it's very exciting, because if we didn't start this, I probably wouldn't have met all these amazing people that are coming into our space. So it's like we're becoming a little family.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we've operated very independently as a human design community in Australia, independently of each other. And I don't believe that that's been a deliberate conscious choice by any of us. I think that that's a reflection of, we don't have a formed community in Australia. This is still pretty weird as an Australian, right? I even the people who are most supportive and most loving in my life, they say to me, we're so proud of you, but you know, we have no idea what you actually do. Like, you know, we don't actually get it. I know you don't get it, and that's okay. But I think there is almost a like social preservation for us as Australians doing this, that we're deeply passionate about what we do, and we're very dedicated to our own personal journey and to accessing people anywhere that we can to bring this forth. But on that cultural, social level in Australia, there hasn't been space for us to publicly come out and say, oh my gosh, I'm a human design person. Are you a human design person? Like, if you do that in Australia, people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's human design, right? And it's really interesting to me that two reflectors are the people that over time kind of picked up on that undercurrent of, we need this. We're desiring this, we want this, but we feel a bit helpless to get it for ourselves. I've certainly felt it, I've noticed it, I've addressed it, and have felt like there's nothing I can initiate there. I don't, maybe it's not my responsibility, or I don't have the resources that I need, or whatever it is. But I would suspect that other human design teachers or enthusiasts in Australia are probably feeling exactly the same. So how beautiful that, like, the energetics are all working exactly as we say they do. It's like they're working in synergy, that the reflectors are mirroring that need back to us and saying, here's the resource, like, come together. And I'm really curious to see what that creates after its first experience, once people have like dip their toes in the water, and we now understand what it's like to be around a whole bunch of other Australians and Kiwis and Pacific Islanders and Papua New Guineans and whoever likes to come, what that's going to mean for us as a little sub-industry here in Australia. I think it's going to change the face of how we do human design in Australia.
Yeah, and lift each other up, hopefully, you know, like, that's the thing. It's that lovely Australian mateship, right? We bring back to, you know, connecting and lifting. And I think that's where, if we see so many more people that are in our space, that are in our community, that are also on that same journey, how beautiful it could be.
Mm. Yeah. Do you have ways that you feel already? Like, do you have any inklings or intuitive senses about how this might be different to what occurs at conferences in other international locations? Or are you just like throwing yourselves in and seeing what comes out?
We're really nurturing it through. Like, we are really trying to ensure that there's a real inclusiveness about it, that nobody will feel like you turn up alone, you turn up as whoever you are, that we will create, because I think as reflectors, we are really, it's important for us to create space where everybody feels and gets what they need from it. And if that feeling included means you want to go and stand in the back corner on your own because that feels comfortable, then that's the way that we include you getting what you need out of it. But we really want to make this, so even the way that we're setting up, it's much more practical. We're doing a lot of physical activities, engagement sessions, so that it's not just a learning experience. It's actually a really tangible, practical, embodied experience of human design. And we hope that we create connections that can then go, you know, go forth beyond the 3 days that we have together, and we can start to, you know, build that community from there into whatever that turns into. For me, sometimes when you show up, putting a conference on is kind of, it's a lot of work, right? It's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to make it work. And sometimes the focus is so much on getting through that, which I completely understand because it is a bit overwhelming. But I think Annie and I are really taking the approach that this is really, we want to check in. We want to make sure everybody feels like they get what they need, whether they're talking at it, whether they're just attending it to enjoy the experience. And adding our Australian flavor to it, right? Bringing people, really allowing people, giving people some direction around where we want to go with it so that we've got some cohesion to it, but then giving the individual speakers the ability for them to show up as themselves with their brilliance and what they've got, and helping us all see from so many different perspectives in the community, and learning together in that space.
Yeah. And I anticipate that it's about connection, and it's opening up that, it's like it's a Pandora's box in a way, but it's full of beautiful jewels. It's just like, once we start cracking this open, it'll be this connection. We're already starting to form connections with people who we didn't know, just self included. You know, we're already connecting and all gathering together and realizing and appreciating the energy for what it is, here in our own backyard, as Amber was just saying. And what you were saying there before about, can we feel something? I feel as well that we could also not change the language. Let me just go on the record and say we're not going to change the language, but change it to be, we parrot a lot, or we see a lot of stuff being parroted around, and it's come through from, you know, other places, whereas maybe our language will start to come forth in our own expression, you know?
You know? You know? Yeah, mate. Yeah. I love that. I love that. I think that we do have a different language. We do have a different way of speaking. We also have a very different way of relating to each other in Australia. And I agree, particularly post-COVID, right? We've mentioned that a couple of times. There's been a big movement in the way that Australians enter community since COVID. And we went through an incredibly difficult time as a country through COVID. But I anticipate that there's going to be some kind of quirkiness, especially amongst the lineup of teachers, which obviously I'm one of, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how everyone brings their very Australian flavor to the way that they do it. Because I get this sense of, it's like, it's gloves off. If we're doing this on our own soil, right, in our own tone, and we're not measuring anything to an international audience and needing to be, you know, mindful of inclusivity in our speech and all of those things, I think that we're going to see speakers present in a different way than perhaps we usually show up on social media. But that's going to be awesome. It's going to be really cool. And I think when I met with you guys initially, you said that a number of the speakers in the lineup that you've got are fours or four sixes. Is that right?
Yeah. When we birthed this baby, here's a bit of a fun fact. I don't know if we've shared this, but there was a moment, and Amber and I were sitting there, and we decided to just run the chart of the conference, the time that we went, we are entering into a partnership. And it is also a 4-6. So our 4-6 emotional generator conference.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Yep. And we have to add that I think we want to make it fun, right? Yeah. The one thing I notice, and I'm not just talking human design conferences, any conferences I've been to when overseas versus Australia, often there's a real, people want to have fun. We want to have a good time, right? So I just really feel like we're going to bring that, but in our own way, you know, in a way that feels like really nurturing and juicy and not too kind of, you know,
stuffy.
Yeah. stuffy and too straight and narrow, like just getting in there and
Yeah.
whatever we bring, like having
We
yourself.
don't love seriousness too much, I don't
No.
think. I think Australians are excellent at kind of bridging that harmony of we're productive, right? And we drive things forward and we can be industrious, but also life is to be lived. So
Absolutely.
just live
Absolutely.
it. I often joke to people that Australia has the most number of public holidays out of any nation in the world, and we always want more. Always. Even our government's like, could we make that a public holiday? Do you reckon we could make that one a public holiday? Just keep adding it in because we love it. We love it. It's such a beautiful quality of the way that we approach life. And I think certainly with so much 4-6 energy in the place, if you're looking for community, you're guaranteed to get it because speaking as a 4-6, that's all we do. It's all we do is just create community and create connections between people, and that's our oxygen. That's what feeds us. So I'm really looking forward to being part of just that wider energetic experience of, hey, we're all here for exactly the same reason,
And it
and
was
let's
never
see how.
planned that way. It was just, again, it's just divine timing. Things have just happened how they're supposed to happen. And again, if
Yeah.
that's not a reflector thing, I don't know what is, but it's like, you can't push against it. We can't force things to happen. They've just, the speakers and how that has all come about, it's just all been orchestrated. And it's just like, okay, we're trusting, we're surrendering to this process and allowing what is. Because the whole theme, we wanted to sort of like tell a story. We thought, let's make this a theme, let's make it impactful. And it's just how we set the theme up to sort of weave through life using human design, the game of life, like weave through it all. And it just so happens that the presenters that were when we looked out there are all fit into these beautiful parts of our life story through human design. So very excited about that too. Just it is what it is. It's its own energetic signature running itself.
There's been, I mean, for anybody who's been dabbling around in this over the last few weeks, there's been a little bit of public discussion around having like an all white female lineup, right? Which like we've all discussed prior to coming on to record and what we want to discuss about that and what we don't want to. And I think there's certainly times and spaces for discussion about racial equality and inclusivity and representation and all of those very, very imperative, important topics. But I think that what a lot of people are unaware of is that we have a kind of different experience of that in Australia. That it's worth mentioning that just on a purely statistical level, that the population in Australia is about a tenth of the American population. And then when we draw that down to how many people in Australia are into human design, I mean, I don't know, at a guesstimate, I'd reckon less than 10%. It's not many of us. And our population for Indigenous people and people of colour is actually at less than 4% of our total population here in Australia. So I feel like that's important for people to be aware of that. This is kind of an inaugural thing. Like, this is the commencement of something. And perhaps what's being viewed is being taken in a different lens without taking in any of that localized context, which is hard. That's got to be really, really hard as event organizers, especially as reflectors who want to be inclusive, who want to create harmony, who want to have everybody represented, but we actually just don't have the body of representation in Australia to meet that kind of brand image. What's that been like for you guys trying to go through that? I mean, was it a challenge consciously to look for like inclusivity on the speaker board, or were you just like, oh my gosh, we actually just have to find the human design people first, and then we can go from there.
Just waiting. Just had to check then, see if
I see you two like looking at each other.
wait, who's gonna go first? The fifth line. It has been challenging, and it's also been saddening, because speaking frankly, like a gentleman actually reached out to me and he asked, he said, is this for men?
Oh.
And, you know, and it was like, oh, yes, absolutely. And I could really feel that. And I thought I could see how that would look. But it, yeah, it's getting back to what you were saying. Yeah, it was kind of down to who do we know? Who do we know? Because as you were saying, human design is still relatively small here in Australia. I mean, some people will be, it's becoming a bit more, but it, and how can I put this? Predominantly female, you know, especially in our culture. These blokes around here, they, you know, not, pardon me and say this respectfully to those listening, but it's not as common for guys to get into personal development or spirituality. It's not a thing in our culture as much as it is for women. And even that's small. So we're at slim pickings, my friend. We had kind of slim pickings, but we're doing our best. And as you say, it's a start. And we're hoping with that, it'll generate more interest. And next year, you know, the world's our oyster. Well, terrible saying. But we're just, you know, yeah, it is a bit sad, but we're really, really happy and we're really proud of what we have achieved. And those, as I was saying there before, those that are speaking are phenomenal people, phenomenal people. And this is human design. Human design is not anything. It is human design. So, yeah. Amber.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, our journey through things like equality in Australia, whether we're looking at race or gender or the disability spectrum, right? Australia is journeying through all of that. We're even journeying through like socioeconomic inequalities. But we're new to the game. Australia has only been addressing those things as a nation for probably the last 10 to 12 years. Our nation is only 200 years old, as opposed to thousands of years old for other developed nations. And I personally am pretty proud of how far Australia has moved in these spaces. I know that there are a number of people who are so dedicated to it. I am surrounded by people who are dedicated to working on these causes and moving them forward. I am one of those people. And it is sad, I think, to have that misread or misunderstood by people outside of our geographic borders who perhaps have not been here and don't know. It feels a bit disheartening to me, right? That I feel like, oh, we're working so hard and we've come so far, and it's so earnest and so authentic in Australia to be inclusive and to create equality. In Australia, it is not every man for himself. In Australia, it is mateship. And, you know, we're coming to the party, I think, in like leaps and bounds, but we're kind of small time over here in a lot of ways. And so we need to be mindful of that. I think that criticism never moves anything forward. But as long as we're dedicated to using all of those measures that we can to contribute to these causes, and not just the ones that are obviously public, but all of these measures. And it's very simple things like, just to give people a concrete example, you know, like in Australia, it's really important to do things like acknowledgement of country, right? Which I do in all of my work. I know some of the other speakers on the panel also do in their work. And no doubt we will do that at the conference. That's a huge progression forward in Australia for us to be doing that. And these are small ways in amongst other big ways that we're working to contribute to this change, to this healing, to this movement forward. So my hope is that everyone could be coming together with the same intention, right? That this is not, you know, it's not whitewashing. It's not about, you know, women gathering together. It's like, let's bring together what we've got and recognize what's missing and individually and collectively do what we can to keep healing that. We don't need to criticize it, I don't think.
That's so beautiful.
I know, that's so well worded, Holly.
Oh, you
Really.
just got me in the feels. I'm just like, oh, so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think Australia is beautiful. Australia is an incredibly, not just scenically beautiful. Is that a word? Scenically? It's
Yeah,
not.
it is
We're
now. Happy with it. I'll
now,
take
I just made it. The manifesto said so. It's a word. Yeah, I think that we have a really beautiful country in which we live, and it's very powerful. Our country, the earth, is very powerful. Everybody in Australia understands that Mother Earth is Queen Bee, and we are helpless in her wake. So we need to respect her, which is actually an Indigenous belief system. But we are, as a people, as well. I think that we are kind and we are generous and we are intentional in our connection. I really believe that most people in Australia are dedicated to beautiful things. We're dedicated to love and to healing. And I think that the conference is going to bring that forth.
You
You want to make
hear,
me cry.
agree.
That's so nice. Go, Australia. My
Yeah,
God, we're all right.
we're all
We're all
right.
right.
We're mates.
She'll be right, mate. She will be. Tell me a little bit more about the location of the conference. It's at Kingscliff, right? So just outside of the Gold Coast.
Yeah, it's about 40 minutes, depending on where you are on the Gold Coast away. It's not too far. No, it's about 30 minutes from the Coolangatta, the Gold Coast Airport, which is great. And basically, we've chosen a place that is just such an incredible space. It's just south of Kingscliff. Technically, it's in Kingscliff, but it's got its own sort of beach area. It feels very like a community space anyway when you go down there because it's right next to the beach. It's really fresh, lots of fresh like air and roomy and inviting. And I know for me personally, when I was writing my book, it would be where I would journey down to just take a few days, breathe in, and feel wonderful. And Annie and I have been down there and had that same experience. So we wanted something that was accessible, that was also really, had a beautiful energy to it as well. It wasn't just, we don't want it to be like a clinical conference. We want to have, like, we're having the first event outside by the pool in the outdoor. So there's lots of lovely, it's very Australian in that way. We've got such beautiful landscape. Let's connect to it. Let's enjoy it. Let's nourish ourselves while we're there in that space. Yeah.
So good. And so, just so that people are super aware, right? Because, like, the challenge of clicking on a link and reading information is becoming increasingly tough for everybody globally these days. What's the ticket price? What's included in that? What kind of investment are people looking at here?
Annie, would you like to share? It looked like
Over
you were
to
about
you, Annie.
to. Over to me. We
This
got
is
to start
I
a
love
quick thing. Right.
podcast for exactly this reason.
People are like listening in the car or whatever, and they're like, pause. Which one's going to come on now?
Come on,
Okay.
girls.
So it's a 3-day conference. So the first part of the conference is cocktails, as Amber said. So that's a 2.5 hour event, and then it's a full day on the Saturday and a 3/4 of the day on the Sunday. So for that, including all your materials, workbooks,
Food.
experiences, food. Oh yeah, food. Can't forget the food. Morning tea and afternoon tea.
Lunch.
Smoko. And lunch. It's $497. So $497 Australian. And we also have discounted rooms available at Mantra Salt because that's where the event is hosted. But there's also lots of Airbnbs around there. So again, it's like people can share or, come for a weekend and enjoy themselves, as Amber was saying. Do you have anything else to add, Amber?
Well, I mean, there'll be a nice swag bag with some goodies in it as well. There's some other lovely things we're doing. We're really trying to make this a beautiful experience. So, of course, you're going to also get all those wonderful speakers and their information and connection and collaboration. So, we're doing our best to give you as much value as we can for showing up. This is the first conference. We're taking a bit of a risk ourselves in, setting this up in hoping that, the people will come. And so far, we've been really excited about who's been showing up to come on board with us. So I really feel like it's going to be a fabulous experience for anybody that turns up, regardless of how much you know about human design. Just having an interest, just having a small amount of understanding about it really is enough for you to come along and have an incredible experience and take a lot away from it. And if you're someone that's kind of had already working in the space or already a human design, in depth enthusiast, you're going to get a lot out of it as well, because we've got, again, those connections. Everybody's got their own thing that they're able to bring to it, their own perspective. And I think that's what's so gorgeous about it. No matter where you are in life and your understanding of human design, you're going to have there's going to be something to take away. There really is. And those connections, I mean, that's invaluable itself, isn't it, in the community.
Yeah. I think I love that you mentioned that, Amber, that it actually doesn't really matter where you're at on your human design journey. And I think when we see the words like, oh, conference, we think like, well, you've got to be pretty serious about it. Like, this is a professional thing. And I have a human design friend who, has trained in human design, and he's integrated it into his like coaching and yoga work practice. And he'll be coming along. And he said to me, wait, can I come? Is this like a human design teacher thing, or is this a human design person thing? Pretty sure it's a human design person thing, buddy. So, come, which is great, because that just opens up so many opportunities for us to like share and meet. And I think, oh my gosh, 6 years ago when I came into human design, if I'd had the ability to go to an event with all other Australians in human design, it actually really would have changed the trajectory of how I experience this whole kind of wild experiment. Absolutely. And the thing I'm looking forward to is that you guys are doing body graph lanyards. I'm so excited about getting my body graph lanyard. I've seen my body graph a million times, but something about the idea of it being on a lanyard representing me just feels really exciting. Like, I'm gonna be on a lanyard. Me, my body graph? That's so cool.
That's for those that can't spot a manifestor across the room.
like a neon sign. I just add it to my chest, like manifestor incoming. Okay.
Yeah. Watch out. Step aside from the woman.
You've been pre-informed. Okay. Pre-informed. Everybody get on board.
Well, those small touches, they're fun for us, That's about, and again, two reflectors running this, it's all about our environment. It really has to be about a good environment. And if we're not benefiting from it, who would?
Yeah,
that's true. So. Yeah, you can guarantee in something that is created by reflectors, the environment is going to be the most soft, loving, warm, nurturing environment ever. And as an undefined G-center person and a very, very open, energetic person, I deeply appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it, to not being in a hustle conference days.
Definitely.
So we're going to have all of the links for purchasing and everything in our show notes. Is there a cutoff date for ticket purchasing, or is there a recommended date, especially in terms of rooms available at the venue?
Definitely. If you're intending to come and stay, you want to get in there early, because the rooms all run out when they run out. So we don't know when that date will be. I believe the cutoff is about 2 weeks before the event at the very latest. So ideally, and we may have to make a call if we get over the numbers we need. So I want people to book as soon as they can. If they're curious, we've got a link on there that says, keep me informed, because I'm not ready to purchase yet. And we'll keep you on that mailing list. And if it does get to the crunch end of, hey, you've got a week, otherwise the numbers are closing off, you can pop yourself down on that. So yeah, the sooner the better, but at least 2 weeks before the event at the very latest.
In other words, if you're an emotional authority or a reflector, you want to start your decision-making process now.
Definitely.
Get going.
Get on that.
Everybody else, the splenics and the sacrals, just move. Just click the link and buy, for goodness sake. You already know the answer. Just do it already.
Absolutely.
So good. Well, I am absolutely looking forward to it. We will continue to promote it, of course, across our page. I know that all of the other speakers in the lineup are doing the same thing, which is cool. So hopefully people will be seeing a lot more about the conference and it coming up. And if you are based in Australia or our neighboring country vicinities, come. Come on in. I think this is a very just irreplaceable event.
The start
That
of
is
something
definitely one that
special.
you want to come to. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for both of you for being here and for sharing not only your energy for this time, but actually just your insights and your stories. It's always a privilege for me when people are willing to be just open and vulnerable and honest to a public audience, especially when it's not yours. Oh my gosh, I'm going to tell my stories to people that I don't know. So thank you for being here, and thank you so much for following those impulses to put the conference together. I'm thrilled to join you there, and May is going to be an excellent month.
Thank you
Absolutely.
so much, Holly. It's been such a
It's a
joy
pleasure.
to be here with you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today in another episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. We so enjoy having you here, and whether you are listening to my insights or the wisdom of one of our other incredibly talented manifestor specialists, we really truly hope that you have taken away power, transformation, and wisdom about your own manifestor magnificence. Before you go and switch off, we would be so humbly grateful if you could take the time to either leave a podcast review right on the platform that you're listening to, or if you feel like it, please do a share across your social media. We love to hear how each of the episodes is impacting you, and we love to provide an opportunity for you to inform us via social media. So please share a story or a post about this episode and tag us at The Manifestor Community. Until next time, please, manifestors, keep hunting for purpose.